What's up? This is Movies On Up. You will be unprepared for our top five lists featuring women who can do some serious ass kicking, I guess. Neither of us, myself, Ryan, or my co-host, Dave, are women, or I would say particularly apt at ass kicking, but some of the ladies on our list definitely have that taken care of. You will be unprepared. Our tagline for this week, hint, hint, it is a movie that I guess neither of us have actually seen this particular movie, but I guess
nor
there's
want to.
Yeah, that too. But I guess there's some chicks dishing out some violence. If you think you know, or if you do know, better yet, if you do know what movie that comes from, send your answer to us in an email, moviesonup@gmail.com. Leave your guess on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, or tweet your answer directly at Mr. Dave Bisella, at moviesonup on the Twitter. If you are correct, and if we pick you, you will be the recipient of a prize package courtesy of Dave and I, which will have in it all sorts of goodies. I can't really tell you what it is. You're just going to have to try and win and find out for yourself. If you can answer the question, what movie does the tagline "you will be unprepared" come from? Dave, how did you prepare for this list? I mean, usually there's some things that either we disqualify or we have some kind of rules discussion.
I went through, like I always do, and just jot down freeform stuff that I can think of. And then sometimes I'll do a little bit of research to make sure there's nothing I missed. Obviously, like Aliens jump out of the first of the list, but we usually skip those. There's a couple that I left off solely because I thought you might have them, so I kind of tried to. There's one on my list that there might be crossover on. Other than that, there's only one that I thought I didn't really count. Like, it came to mind, but, and it's my favorite movie of all of them that I came up with, but I didn't really count it 100%.
I'll be interested to see what that is, because I'm sure it'll come up, and I feel like it'll come up close to the end of my list.
Possibly.
I think
or
so.
At my number one, I might find a way to reference it.
If you don't, I will reference it in my number one, because usually, and maybe it's just a factor of us doing this show for however long we've been doing it, but occasionally, I wouldn't want to say great minds think alike, but minds that spend enough time in a room together tend to think alike. But I'm almost certain there will be no crossover on our number fives. So let's get to it. Dave, your fifth favorite movie of all time featuring a female lead character.
Female action movie.
That's a long title.
It's actually not really. Favorite female action movies.
All right, fine. That sounds
a little
better.
More simple. That's one of our least convoluted ideas lately. Mine goes back to 1995. It's a weird one. Yes, it's an action movie. It's a comedy. It's a campy. And most of all, it's a comic book movie. It is 1995, starring Lori Petty, Tank Girl. At the time, this movie wasn't very well loved. and I guess I can understand that. Lori Petty knows what she's doing. She had her niche, and she did it well. Like, she was great in Point Break. This is her as, like, the main focus leading lady. And she did it well. Like, if you watch the movie now, I think it holds up really well because they knew what they were doing. I don't think the studio knew what they were releasing, but as they were making it, they knew what they were doing. This wasn't your big blockbuster action. I mean, it was a camp. It was fun. It was just supposed to be a lot of fun.
It was a genre pick.
It absolutely was. And I don't think people wanted to accept it as that. But if you look back on it now, it's a lot of fun. And she's awesome. Like, she's perfect as Tank Girl in the lead. Naomi Watts is in it. Ice-T. Just a weird movie that's fun to go back and watch.
Looking back on it, it definitely has its following now, a cult following, where at the time, I'm not sure people really knew what to make of it. I think movies that we see that look like they could be blockbusters, you're looking at the action, and a movie called Tank Girl, I guess, would be pretty easy to say, oh, this is supposed to be a summertime action blockbuster. But when there's camp or like snark to it, when it's kind of the anti-blockbuster movie, I think that does kind of catch people off guard. And at the time, nobody really knows what to make of it. But it's one of those things that if you check back on Netflix, it'll definitely keep you entertained. And it's I think it's definitely worthy of a number five spot on the
list. Oh, it's definitely an ass-kicking lady.
For shizzle. My number five is more like a career award. We could very easily fill an entire list, or at least five, off of the films of Mila Jovovich. But I kind of wanted to pick one that maybe we hadn't talked about at all. And it's maybe not her best movie, but she does kick quite a bit of ass. In 2006's Ultraviolet, directed by Kurt Wimmer, starring Mila Jovovich, Cameron Bright, and Nick Chinland. With relatively few exceptions, none of her movies are really better or worse than any of the other ones. With the Mila Jovovich movie, you know what you're going to get. She's a relatively attractive girl who is pretty physically gifted when it comes to, you know, doing stunts and doing action scenes. So I give her a lot of credit there. All of the movies are very heavy on her doing that kind of stuff, which clearly she has an aptitude for. And most of them do feature an awful lot of CG. This Ultraviolet is really not an exception to that rule at all. There's loads of CG, as a matter of fact. But I think it looks kind of neat. I think the movie's about vampires or something akin to vampires. I can't really say that I have a great grasp on what the plot of Ultraviolet is, but what I can tell you is that Mila's got a sword and some guns, and she uses those pretty effectively to carve a swath through some faceless bad guys. Lots of action, lots of pretty colors, which I guess that's really all you need for a successful film, right?
I think this movie kind of got hurt by, I hope I'm not spoiling anything on your list, Future.
I don't think so.
It came out not super close, but close enough to where Aeon Flux was still in
the consciousness.
In the consciousness. And from the trailers, they don't look like different movies. Charlize Theron and Mila Jovovich, both capable of doing the female action. It's just for that female-driven sci-fi action movie, it almost feels like Ultraviolet was kind of...
It's kind of a knockoff version.
Whether it was or not, I think that's the stigma it got. So,
yeah.
But yeah, she's definitely... Because even...
The Fifth Element.
Even
yeah.
In The Fifth Element, I mean, she kicked a lot of ass.
She did. That's one that I would have had trouble putting on this list because, like,
I don't think it was enough
not,
of her movie.
Right.
It's
was
a Bruce Willis movie,
exactly.
Ultimately. And that's kind of why the one I teased earlier I don't feel is worthy. But we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, she's proven herself. She's one of the... I mean, she's got a franchise that she carries.
Like, yeah, and the Resident Evil ones are... I guess those are probably the first ones that come to mind. And, you know, again, they fit the bill. Like, there's a lot of carnage. There's a lot of CG. And she's fine in them, you know, for what they are. But I feel like, you know, people have probably seen those movies. This is one that... Would I tell you to invest an afternoon watching it? No. But if you were, like, organizing your stamp collection and you wanted to put something on in the background, this wouldn't be a bad thing. Just
no. And I
peek
think,
up every couple seconds. And yeah.
And I think what she – I mean, she has a franchise. Like I said, there's only one other female off the top of my head that we'll, I'm sure we'll get to later that I can think of that has an action franchise. And, like, when the Expendables story came
yeah.
out, like – there's two names that come to mind right away, and Mila Jovovich is one of them.
So you're number four. Does it happen to feature Michelle Rodriguez?
It does not.
No.
It features Bridget Fonda from, now don't get mad, I know you like your foreign movies, from 1993. It is Point of No Return, the American remake of Luc Besson's La Femme Nikita. Just a cool idea. Bridget Fonda's a criminal that doesn't really have anything to live for, and then she's... recruited by the government to become an assassin. Is it the best movie ever? No. Is it a competent action movie? Absolutely.
Is Bridget Fonda a name you would associate with an action franchise?
No.
No, but she does a pretty good job.
She does pretty awesome
yeah.
in it. And I mean, even the cast, Gabriel Byrne, Dermot Mulroney, Miguel Ferrer, Anne Bancroft, Olivia Diabo, Harvey Keitel. I mean, that's a solid cast.
It's a solid mid-90s cast.
Yeah, it is. It's just a good movie. Like, again, it's not going to win any awards, but when you come to just straight-up action movies, what is, really? And this is no different than any of your, you know, your throwaway Bruce Willis action flicks or any of those. Like, this is just like any of those where it's a competent action movie with enough plot and decent enough acting to get you through it.
I prefer the Luc Besson, but... You know, whatever. I'm glad you put it on. I didn't put La Femme Nikita on. I felt like that was... I like my other movies, oh, I guess with the exception of Ultraviolet, because I don't really love that movie. I just think it's fun to look at, I suppose. My number four is a movie from 2011. It's kind of close-ish to recruiting a criminal to become an assassin, but it's two criminals. I guess they're not criminals, but they are assassins. Violet and Daisy from 2011, directed by Jeffrey Fletcher, starring Saoirse Ronan, Alexis Bledel, James Gandolfini. Double your pleasure, double your fun this time around. Bledel and Ronan play, like I said, young assassins who seem to be pretty much equal part maniacs and mall rats at the same time. There are a couple shootouts in the movie, one right up front that I think would satisfy the action requirements on the list, but I feel like there's more than that going on in this movie. There's some flashbacks and some dream sequences that I think do a really nice job at providing some character backstory, but like right as soon as I finished the movie, I kind of felt like I needed to watch it again because I'd missed some things, not just one thing, but I know there were some things in there that I missed, and that's not necessarily a feeling that I get a lot with action movies, but I think there are definitely some story elements going on here that warrant probably a couple viewings of the movie, and I think Gandolfini is awesome in it. He's the target of a hit from Violet and Daisy, but he spends some time with each of them, and he has some very sweet scenes with each of them. I really wasn't really sure what to expect going into it. After seeing it, it's not at all what I had expected, and I'm not a giant fan of Alexis Bledel, but I thought, as being kind of the loose cannon of the two, I guess, the Riggs, if you will, I thought she was pretty enjoyable, and Saoirse Ronan as an assassin, a very young assassin that's not quite sure if that's the life that she wants cut out for. And her interaction with Gandolfini is kind of like the father figure. It's really, really a good flick. And I don't know when else necessarily I would have talked about it. I don't like to shoehorn movies necessarily into lists, but I had a feeling that we were probably going to talk about some women assassins somewhere. And I wanted to talk about this one because I figured it's a different spin on it. It's not a straightforward action movie, but really good.
This movie actually didn't come out until this year. It was filmed a while ago, but it just got its release this year, and I was very excited for it. I thought the trailer was great. I unfortunately didn't like it as much as you did. I really wanted to. I love Saoirse Ronan. I enjoy Bledel enough. I love Gandolfini, and I love the idea of it, but it just fell flat from a lot of angles for me. I wish there was more Violet and Daisy, if that makes sense. I felt like they were... The two of them weren't as much of the story as I wanted them.
They were separated a lot.
Yes,
yeah.
That's what I. The two of them together is what I really wanted, and I didn't get a whole lot of that. I did like the Gandolfini role. I mean, there was stuff about it I liked. Just overall, maybe it was a case of my expectations were too high, and if I revisit it in a year or two, maybe I'll love it because it is the kind of movie that I generally fall for. But this one just did not meet the high expectations. But it is very similar to my number three, which did come out in 2011, starring Saoirse Ronan, directed by Joe Wright, co-starring Eric Bana, Kate Blanchett. It is Hannah. Just badass. The first two movies I liked. This is the first of the three that I love. And of all the women on my list, I think Saoirse Ronan as Hannah is the most badass of them all and the most deadly and violent. And Joe Wright doing this kind of movie was very cool because he's not your just typical action director. And this wasn't your typical action movie. It felt like a foreign movie. It had the pacing and the style of a lot of the foreign movies. It didn't feel like an American movie about an assassin, if that makes any sense. Like, it wasn't your bang, bang, shoot 'em up, I'm a hit girl kind of.
Yeah,
movie.
I mean, it wasn't Kick-Ass.
Yeah, but it was so good, and she's so good. Like, she's just everything I've seen her in, she's been fantastic. Because even though I didn't love Violet and Daisy, I still liked her, like, a lot for what she did.
Much different role in Hannah.
Very
she
different
was
role.
Completely embracing being
Hannah,
a...
she was just, that's what she was born to do. And, like, everything she's in, she's such a fantastic actress, and I love watching her work in this movie. Like, kind of put her at the centerpiece and really let her, you know,
with,
she hadn't,
you know,
done
with
them.
Eric Bana and Cate Blanchett, you know, it was her movie. She carried
it. Absolutely her movie, and they knew that going in, and I just thought she delivered, and it's such an awesome movie.
I like it. I left it off the list because I knew you would put it on there.
That's the only one I thought might be crossover because I thought you enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah, I did. And I know I've talked about it before, so that's kind of another reason that I would leave it off. But I think you kind of hit the nail on the head that you don't necessarily expect Hannah coming from the guy that directed Anna Karenina, Pride and Prejudice, and Atonement. But it was a really, really good, very visceral, very realistic action movie. And yeah, not only there was, you know, she actually had to do a little bit of acting in the movie too. And I think those parts she was able to carry pretty well. And the action was very, very gritty for, you know, whatever she was like 14 or whatever she was supposed to be at the time. My number three does not have a lot of realism going on at all, but I unabashedly love the movie. It is from 2003. It is the masterpiece of Len Wiseman, starring Kate Beckinsale, Scott Speedman, and Shane Brawley. It is Underworld. Who knew going into this movie that the girl from Serendipity was like a ninja? My enjoyment of this movie might be largely kind of the inverse of what you thought about Violet and Daisy, might be because I had the lowest possible expectations for the movie going in. Saw the trailers and I thought, all right, this is going to be awful, but I can't help it. I'm kind of interested. And I think that it's kind of how dudes would prefer Twilight gets done. You've got your brooding vampires and your brooding werewolves, and they're shooting at each other. I thought the action sequences in the movie were really good. I mean, there's a lot of wire stuff, a lot of like slow motion Wachowski bullet time stuff when people were doing the hell out of that. Really good action sequences. And I guess, you know, if I'm being completely honest, the wetsuit that Kate Beckinsale was poured into for the entire movie, that doesn't do anything to hurt the film in my estimation. But I think with Kate Beckinsale, you have some women on this list that are complete badasses. And then you have maybe chicks that are really, really attractive. But I think it takes a bit of something to be able to do both of those things at the same time. I mean, I think Mila Jovovich does a really good job. And to my surprise, I guess Kate Beckinsale does too. I mean, I don't know that some of her other movies like Van Helsing really didn't do a whole lot for me, but I think the first Underworld was really kind of cool.
The only reason that's left off my list is because I assumed you would have it, because I would put
it's a good assumption.
I don't think I'd like it as much as Hannah, but it probably would have, it would have replaced either of my five or four, because it's actually a really good, enjoyable movie. Because on the surface, it's an action movie about werewolves fighting vampires.
Which is cool.
Which is cool, but then you get into it, she's really good. I'm not a Scott Speedman fan, but he's sufficient enough.
Does he have any?
I don't think so. And then the story is actually pretty decent. Like, there's actually a thought-out story in there that I wasn't opposed to it becoming a trilogy. I mean, I went and saw, I liked Underworld so much, I saw the second one opening weekend in the theater.
Me too.
Second one isn't on my list, but
no.
But the first one's
neither is the third or the fourth.
Yeah, the first one was really good, and I almost wish that they had another crack at making that a trilogy and did it a little more like the first one. And
I mean, I haven't seen the most,
because the second one was what I expected the first one to be.
Yes, and then the prequel, obviously not so good. I haven't seen the most recent one yet. And I get the feeling that it's closer to the first one, but I don't know because I didn't see it. I feel like I kind of got burned twice in a row, but that doesn't matter. Like, I still, like I said, unabashedly like the first Underworld. It is my Breaking Dawn part two.
My part two, or my number two.
Part two, yeah, I did that for a reason.
It's another one that you kind of, they knew exactly what they were doing. I compare this movie a lot to Black Dynamite, although not to the extreme that Black Dynamite was. It is 2009's Bitch Slap. Just a made-to-be, like, a female exploitation movie from the 70s, much like what Black Dynamite did for blaxploitation movies, where it was a mockery of them in a way, but still a competent enough one.
When Tarantino does his nods to genres, Black Dynamite and Bitch Slap
yeah.
did it in a funny way, whereas yeah. Tarantino is not necessarily funny.
Bitch Slap was a little bit more, I hate using the term, a little more serious than Black Dynamite. It wasn't as much of a comedy, but it was still funny. You have your three main villains all with their, or main heroines, I guess. Like, it's hard to really dub anybody a hero or a villain in this movie. You have your three main women with their own motives. You have Kevin Sorbo showing up doing Kevin Sorbo stuff. You have terrible green screen. It's just a fun time. Like, it's just a lot of fun, this movie. Like, this is another one. It's not going to win any awards, but if you want to just laugh and just enjoy ridiculousness with some pretty cool action for, you know, an hour and a half or so, watch Bitch Slap, because it's just, that's the easiest way to describe it. It's just a fun time.
And I think sometimes, maybe on this show, we get a little, I don't want to say we don't have fun watching stuff, because you try and, sometimes we try and watch things and tell people about things that are good, that it's going to move you, it's going to impact and affect your life. But I think I'd tell almost anybody I would ever meet, watch Black Dynamite and tell me you don't have fun. Why else would you want to watch anything?
I mean, of the two, I think I like Black Dynamite a little bit more because I think it was better done. But
oh, yeah, but he's not a woman.
No, but Bitch Slap was so fun. Like, and I mean, I had a hard time putting Tank Girl and this on at the same time, because
very similar.
They're very similar because they're campy, they're fun, they're just ridiculous, but they know they're being ridiculous. And I mean, it's the polar opposite of Hannah, but it's just it's a total blast. I mean, and that's ultimately what I want from an action movie, is either give me enough of a story to bring me in like Hannah, or just go ridiculous with it and make me laugh and just have a good time like Bitch Slap.
I'm glad that Bitch Slap is your number two, because it'll dovetail quite nicely into my number two, which actually is an exploitation movie from 1974, directed by Jack Hill, long before there was Uma Thurman or Sigourney Weaver. There was Foxy Brown, the meanest chick in town, that being, of course, Pam Grier from the very cleverly titled Foxy Brown from 1974, also starring Antonio Fargas and Peter Brown. When Tarantino casts you in a movie, there's a pretty good stamp of approval for, you know, you being a chick that can kick a fair amount of ass. And he definitely gave Pam Grier that stamp of approval back in Jackie Brown. Pam Grier did a bunch of exploitation movies back in the early 70s that did kind of establish her as not only a very attractive actress, but somebody who could totally kick your ass. I could have picked several of her movies from that time period. I think Coffee was probably the closest to me that would have made it on here, but I think Foxy Brown is really the one that kind of symbolizes maybe her entire career, but especially her career in the mid-70s. It definitely dials the sex and the ass-kicking up to 11. She poses as a prostitute to take down some mobsters that whacked off her boyfriend. It's Pam Grier, like, I feel like she was doing it before anybody else. I don't want to call her necessarily, you know, the godmother of the female-led action movies. But like I said, before there was Uma Thurman doing it, before Sigourney Weaver was doing it, or Mila Jovovich, whoever we want to put on here that, you know, may have franchises. I mean, Pam Grier didn't have a franchise, but she was synonymous with this genre. So I would have felt remiss not putting a Pam Grier movie on here.
And she came at a tough time and still, like, dominated, because not only was she a female actress, that they weren't making female action movies, she was black. And, I mean, you had Jim Brown and Fred Williamson, and them, they separated themselves a little bit. And she was just, I mean, her movies were doing just as well. So,
yeah, I mean, you had Shaft at that time,
yeah,
and then you had this.
Yeah, so she, like, crossed over and was doing, you know, the female exploitation, the blaxploitation, plus making really good movies along the way, because, you know, like, she resurfaced back with Jackie Brown, and it was good. You don't get that good just by luck. So, I mean, she did have a lot of talent, and I'm glad she made the list, because a long time ago, when they first announced that they were going to do a female Expendables, I think when we did our cast, I think we both had her on our
list. I certainly hope so.
Because she's an obvious one, and I think she actually might be involved in the actual project, but I don't remember exactly. But yeah, she's a solid choice. On to my number one, an actress who not necessarily known for action, but actually not really known for a whole bunch else other than her role as Buffy in 1992's Buffy the Vampire Slayer. That's another one that's probably more comedy than action, but it's got your female lead who kicks a lot of ass, and she top-billed over 90210 heartthrob Luke Perry, written by Joss Whedon, which later became a TV show with a completely different tone than this movie. I still love this movie. I absolutely adore this movie. Ben Affleck shows up in it briefly. It's such a, again, I hate to keep going back to fun, but it's a fun, funny, just awesome vampire ass-kicking time, and she was great in it. Like, as this girl who's given all this responsibility, and you watch her grow into accepting it and embracing it and just utilizing it. Just a lot of fun, and I really love this movie.
I think the movie, and I don't think I'm really speaking out of turn here, but I think it gets a bad rap because of just how good the TV show turned out to be. I think it's kind of rare that you have something, you know, I don't want to say spin off, but kind of gets that second chance, and it more than atones for what the movie could have been. But yeah, I think without the TV show, I think people look back on this movie much more fondly than they do now. I remember legitimately liking the movie when it first came out, and I was a latecomer to the television show, but the only reason I watched the TV show was because I did like the movie so much.
Honestly, as much as I love Joss Whedon, I've never watched Buffy yet because I have, what, 9 seasons to catch up on. I liked the movie so much that when it started airing, I believe it was CW or WB or whatever.
Yeah.
I was excited. Oh, there's a Buffy TV show. And then I saw trailers. It's like, oh, that's not the same Buffy. Like, that's a different Buffy. And I loved this movie. I mean, Paul Reubens was hilarious in it. Like, he was fantastic. And this was after his career had gotten shit canned for whatever reason. That still makes me angry. This was his, like, return back into doing it, and he was awesome. Rutger Hauer, Donald Sutherland. I mean, it was a good movie, and it was a lot of fun, and the action was awesome. I still love this movie, and you know what? I'm sure I'd like the TV show because I like Joss Whedon's work a lot, but nothing will make me love this movie any less than I do.
Fair enough. My number one, kind of a different direction. I guess it's starring a lady that's not necessarily known for much outside of this franchise. I mean, she's had probably more of a career than Buffy's had, but I think still synonymous with her work from The Terminator from 1984. It's, of course, Linda Hamilton, starring opposite Michael Biehn and the former governor of California, Arnold Schwarzenegger. James Cameron, a bit like Tarantino, knows a thing or two about having a female lead that's really, really strong. Obviously, Aliens didn't make either of our list, but I mean, I think that would probably, I would say Ripley would be pretty high up on most people. Listen, she's high on ours too. It's just an obvious one.
We just do that.
Yeah. I feel like Terminator 2 is a better action movie, but I don't think that's necessarily Linda Hamilton's movie. T2 is definitely Schwarzenegger, and it's definitely Furlong, with Linda Hamilton sort of along for the ride. But I think this one, she does carry. And she doesn't have necessarily a high body count in the film, but I think she's absolutely like tougher than a $3 steak in this movie. And Terminator 2, and really from there on out, it became Schwarzenegger's franchise. And I think that was obviously a good move. I mean, they're different movies. The Terminator is a sci-fi movie, and the female lead, I do think, kind of harkens back to, you know, some of the slasher movies. And outside of Ripley, I don't know that there are that many sci-fi leads that are really, really strong. But I guess this was strength in kind of a different way. It was more like determination. And man, as much as you couldn't stop Schwarzenegger in this movie, it's pretty much equally as impossible to stop Linda Hamilton. I wouldn't mess with her, that's for damn sure.
See, on my list, I had T2 as an also-ran. I understand your point about one, but I feel like Linda Hamilton, yeah, she wasn't the focus of two, but I feel like Sarah Connor was more of a badass in the second one.
I think
feel
everybody like, was.
Yeah, I think she was more, except Eddie Furlong. That dude was not a badass.
And Budnick.
Yeah, I just feel like she kicked more ass in the second one, but either one of them. It's like Alien Aliens. Like, I had that written down because I couldn't put one over the other. because Sigourney Weaver kicks so much ass in both of them.
Right. It becomes like a body count kind of thing. I mean, Sarah Connor has that scene in T2 where she's getting broken out of the mental, where she's regulating on some dudes.
Yeah. So, but yeah, no, T2, Terminator is a good choice.
Oh, well, I'm glad you approve, because it is my number one. I think we've mentioned a couple also rants already. T2, Aliens/Aliens.
I mean, the obvious one is Hunger Games. The main reason we're doing this list is because Hunger Games was dominating at the box office. That's a female-led action movie, and they cast Wonder Woman last week.
Yeah.
And then Frozen's an action-ish kind of kids movie, I guess, led by a female. But so, I mean, I like the Hunger Games. Like, Hunger Games, Aliens, those would both be on my list if we didn't leave off obvious. But some of the other ones,
I feel like there's another obvious one that, at least it's obvious for me, that I left off. Kill Bill.
Yeah, see, I'm not a big Kill Bill fan.
I like the first one a lot.
I don't want to see her feet.
I don't either. But yeah, that's kind of a thing with Tarantino. It's not just Uma Thurman. It's pretty much anybody. Oh, God, I don't like that.
One I had that I wanted on there, I had it at my number five, but I replaced it with Tank Girl because I have talked about it before. Blood the Last Vampire. That's an awesome action. It's another one of those that's just fun. Like, she's killing a bunch of vampires, and she's a badass. But I talked about it in our female buddy one. Doomsday, starring Rona Mitra, directed by Neil Marshall. Actually, that one had skipped my mind until we were talking about Underworld, because she starred in the third one. And she's a badass. I wish she would do more. I haven't seen her pop up in much lately, but she's a very awesome lead. And Doomsday was fun. Like, I like Neil Marshall movies, and this was a really good one. The Descent, it doesn't really focus on one, but we've talked about that movie so many times. One that came to mind while we were talking about Hannah and Joe Wright, he didn't direct this one, but he's directed Keira Knightley before in Domino.
That's one of my also-rans as well.
Enjoy that one. And Columbiana, starring Zoe Saldana. Because I like that one. I mean, it was enough. It wasn't as good as I wanted it to be, but it was enough. And then one I had trouble leaving off, but I didn't justify it because I don't feel like she leads, or she led the story, but she was very badass, is Serenity with River. That's one of the most badass female characters of movies I like. She's one of the most badass female characters, but I don't feel like it was necessarily her movie. Although when she had a chance to do action, she was phenomenal in it.
Yeah, just a couple that, again, I feel like we'd be remiss if we didn't mention. I like me some Gina Carano, and I thought Haywire was pretty good. That was definitely her movie. Definitely. I mean, she's the female born, kind
of. And I liked Haywire. I mean, I'm a Soderbergh guy.
Yeah,
but,
and a C. Tate's guy now.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't – had I made the turn yet? I think that was about a month before I made the turn. But Fassbender
guy. Bad timing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Haywire was fun.
Yeah, Haywire was one that very easily could have made the list. And I guess I kind of just left off a bunch of Tarantino movies. I think Zoe Bell is another one that I'm sure we talked about in our Expendables or whatever. And – Death Proof, I think, would be a movie that, I guess, again, it's maybe more of a pack of girls. I guess it's an action movie, but I guess it could also be one of those revenge movies and maybe like a subgenre, the women's revenge movie. I don't know. Tarantino is weird. But again, I mentioned it with James Cameron. You know, they're both guys that are very good at having, you know, strong female action leads, and it doesn't seem hokey. It doesn't seem forced. It seems like those women could tear you up. And Zoe Bell is, we talk about the physicality with Mila Jovovich. She's a pretty legit stunt lady. She's done stunts for Iron Man 3 and a bunch of things. Pretty much anything that has to do with Tarantino, she's done. She also did the fight choreography for one of yours, Bitch Slap.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Which you could tell. I mean, if you followed Zoe Bell's career, like, you can tell her stamps on that movie.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, she was somebody that, like, I wanted to make sure we at least mentioned. She's mostly behind the scenes, but still, I think, pretty relevant to the female action genre.
This was a fun list. I mean, there was a lot more than I mean, we talked 30 movies, maybe. I mean, we mentioned
probably,
a lot.
Yeah. It kind of got Fast and the Furious there at the end.
Yeah, but, because, I mean, we barely even mentioned Michelle Rodriguez. Who, I mean, she hasn't really had anything where she's the focal point.
Yeah, I mean,
or even Rosario Dawson's proven she can kick ass, but she hasn't been the focal point in an action movie like that. So, I mean, then you have characters like Hit Girl.
I guess those ones you could make the argument that the kick ass movies could have been on there, because really, especially I would say Kick Ass 2, it's just as much her movie as it is his. But I guess that was probably a bit on the nose. A fun list, and I think probably full of a bunch of fun movies, to say the least. Maybe none of them will win awards. Maybe none of them will win any Golden Globes. Those nominations will be out by next week when we do the podcast. So we'll kind of go over, we'll give you two episodes next week. The Golden Globes one will probably be relatively short. We'll just give our thoughts about some of the nominations. It's still very early for Dave and I to have seen really any of them at this point. But we promise by the end of the year, we'll have seen most of them. So we'll be able to give you a little bit more in terms of picks later on down the road. Our second episode of the week will be our, I guess it's one entire episode devoted to A Christmas Story. I can't wait.
I think that'll be a fun one. I love that movie.
Well, one of us loves that movie. This will be like the inverse of almost all of our movie discussions.
I think it's the first time we've ever done one where I enjoy the movie and you don't.
I'm almost certain that's true. So at the very least, if you're like me and you hate A Christmas Story, it may be worth just stopping back by next week to see what it's like when I don't like something.
Or if you're like me and you love The Christmas Story and like hearing people talk about it and like hearing Ryan be wrong, tune in.
But until then,
keep it up.